Praise the Lord. We're going to make a little shift today. I thought I was going to have a part two to kingdom politics, and I was with the Lord yesterday and looking at the subject and going back over some of these notes. I have a little marker where I leave off. I went back to look at it and like, leave it off. Okay, enough's enough. So for those of you that I had some people come up to me, they had no idea about how this past presidential election process works. I'm glad it was informative. I did put it online with all the graphs. So if you watch the video online, the first 20 or 30 minutes of it is that first part I talked about the Electoral College, and then from there got into kingdom politics, which is a good word. And we realized that there's three areas that we talked about of what we could call kingdom politics or kingdom governments, that the kingdom of God is over. Number one, the secular government of this world, that he's over. In the unseen realm of darkness, he's over. And he has a final say over everything because the kingdom of God is over everything. Amen? And so we kind of touched on that, and I just gave you a little brief overview of those things last week. And I'm going to go ahead and pray and start right now because there's a shift through the end of the year. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm just asking that he'll help me communicate what we need to look at the end of this year to the beginning of 2021. Because we need to make sure that we have a kingdom agenda view, a kingdom agenda lifestyle, regardless of what's going on in the world we live in. We've got to stay focused. Praise you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're reorienting your church, Lord God. Or maybe getting us back to first love. Getting us back to looking to you, Jesus, as the preeminence in all things. Getting us back, as it speaks about you, Jesus, in Hebrews, you willed to do the will of God. We will to do your will, O Lord. And we thank you, Father, for ever making it more plain to each of us that aspect of yourself that you want wanting to fulfill. Help me communicate today, Lord. Without your help, nothing gets done. By you, everything can be accomplished. One word, Lord God, one word that is spoken into a heart, into a life of a person listening right now could be the very answer that person needs. Whether it be one word, one scripture, two or three, I'm asking, Father, for your immediate presence right now to those of us gathered here and to those who are listening online. I'm asking, Father, for a Holy Spirit anointing that teaches, that leads, that guides, that instructs, that comforts, that helps, that encourages, that gives revelation in the very presence of yourself, Lord God, to your people. So we thank you for a corporate, Lord God, presence of yourself as we enjoy the individual presence of yourself. Praise you, Jesus. I praise you and I bless you that you will have your way in our hearts and lives this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I was studying yesterday and the day before, looking up things and getting a yes from the Lord and a no from the Lord, and you kind of like it's sorting things out. Kingdom of God culture, kingdom of God lifestyle, reorienting ourselves. And there are two verses that I just that came to me. I don't ever do something like this, but for some reason, I shared it with you a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago now. Next year is going to be what? 2021. Okay? And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, look for 2021 scriptures. I was like, oh, is that your flesh? Like, are any of these going to line up with anything when we look them up? Well, I got two of them that line up. I was like, oh, wow, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Not just one, but two gives us a confirming word. And the first one I want to begin with today is John 20:21. After Jesus' resurrection, he appears to his disciples, and he makes this one of the statements, and this is one of the statements that Jesus makes to his disciples regarding his ministry and now their ministry, regarding what Jesus did and what he has sent, what he is sending them to do, regarding for us to look back at Jesus' life and ministry and also what he has commissioned us to do. Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you." Isn't that just nice to know? I mean, that just that right there. How many people in this world need some peace right now? I mean, if you watch a little bit too much of the news or you hear people talking or you hear the uptick in what's taking place on this coronavirus within the United States and all around the world, sometimes our peace can be easily upset, taken, if we allow it to be taken. And it's just so neat that Jesus has lived, Jesus has made the sacrifice for sin. His third day resurrection has just occurred, and he's now appears before his disciples, minus Judas. He's already done what he did. Thomas isn't present, so there's 10 of them present here that he's speaking to right now. And he says, "Peace to you." Just hear those words that Jesus, like, if you could just hear, it's red letter in my Bible, it's red letter in your Bible. And as I read these words right now, peace to you. Just receive peace from the Lord. Let these words resound in your thought and in your thinking, and any time in the coming days that you need to hear that Jesus himself says peace to you. Then he says, "As the Father has sent me." What Jesus came to do, he did. But there's as I've been looking at this subject and some of the things that I'll be talking about today in the weeks to come, we see a life of Jesus, we see a ministry of Jesus, we see the anointing of the Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus and all that he accomplished, as we have from Luke chapter 4 onward, when the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and then he reads from Isaiah 61 about the Holy Spirit coming upon him and what that would accomplish within his life. And Jesus saying, what I came to do, I've done. And as the Father sent me, I also send you. And so you have to take it back to the same anointing, the same ability, the same life that Jesus walked with, that he is not going to send them out without having that same anointing and capability. And he says, as I have been sent, remember he started his ministry when the Holy Spirit came upon him. I think it's in Luke chapter 4, it says that he was about 30 years of age when that occurred. And he says, now I send you. And so we have an understanding that as we reorient ourselves or get a refocus for 2021, that we have something to accomplish while we're here. There's something that the Lord wants to use our lives. Yes, we all live on this planet. Yes, we all have things that we face every day. There's struggles that we face. There's up and downs that we face. Maybe bad reports that we get. Things going on in our families. Things with our spouses. Things with our children and our loved ones. But that doesn't change the call. It doesn't change the call. That in the midst of all these things, that there is an anointing. There is a help from God. Even Jesus says that the Holy Spirit, which in the King James Version uses the word comforter, in the New King James Version uses the word helper. Well, the helper comforts. You know, he's there with us. You know, when you look up that word, it talks about an abiding with, a dwelling with, alongside always to help and to encourage, within always to help and encourage, to teach and to instruct. And so as Jesus had this same anointing, the same person of the Holy Spirit with him, we also have the same person of the Holy Spirit in us. And so in all these circumstances and in all these things that we're facing and in the personal things that you go through, you are not alone in it. There is a helper. There is a comforter. There is an anointing. There is an answer. There is an encouragement. There is a promise for you to secure. There is a teaching for you to be able to grasp. There is a presence of God that he wanting to communicate something to you personally, right where you're at, in what you're facing. And we have to realize this. And he says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. And so we have this understanding that we go in peace, that we are to live in peace. We are to live in a place of being one with God, knowing that His presence is with us. And we're going to be looking at this subject of His presence with us and living in or living from the presence of God. Because we can go out and do certain things and we can follow certain things and do it in our own strength and our own ability, but we need to make sure that we are living a life that's connected with Him. And so in Acts chapter 20, verse 21, I'm going to read verse 20 first, Acts 20, 20, and then connect that with verse 21. Paul has sent for the elders of the church at Ephesus to come meet him at this seaport that he had pulled into. So word got to the elders at the church of Ephesus, and they came down to see where Paul was at, wanting to know what he was going to speak and communicate to them. And Paul is letting them know, basically, that you're not going to see my face any longer. This is the last time you're going to see me, as he relays to them in verse 25. You know, they are overcome with emotion. They begin to cry in one place and hug his neck. And his work with them, his personal ministry to them was done. But God's personal presence was always with them. So he makes this statement here. In verse 20, I kept back nothing that was helpful or profitable to you, that was beneficial to you, but proclaimed, preached, made known in a very authoritative and bold way to you, and I taught you publicly and from house to house. And here's the 20:21 verse. Testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. When I look at this and how he says that he was with them for, let me back up here or go a little bit further. I think it says 3 years. In verse 31, watch therefore and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So he had this is the church group of people that he had spent the longest time with in ministering to them and speaking to them. In one other place here, in verse 27, verse 26, he says, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all men or all people, for I have not shunned, I have not avoided to declare to you the whole counsel of God. How many of us know that we need a full, rounded teaching of God's word in every area? Now, when I get back up here to Acts 20, 21, and I see repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, those two are very healthy. That statement there is a very healthy statement. Repentance toward God means something was spoken, something was taught, something was revealed that a change needed to take place in your thinking, your choices, your lifestyle, your behavior. Something was contrary to the life of God, the kingdom of God, the plan of God. But he just doesn't leave us there with that. But he also taught them what to put their faith in, what needed to be replaced. The truth that they needed to be taught in its place. And at times we can get off balance by telling a person, how many of you have, a person has sinned, did you repent? But what's the second half? Did you believe? What are you putting your faith in? What now? You know, at times where I've been remiss at times with this, when somebody has shared a situation with me, well, you need to repent of that. But have I followed through in what they need to be taught to take the place of what they're repenting for? And so Paul has this very well-rounded message here. He taught the Word of God. It revealed areas that needed to be changed, that they need to turn from and embrace the Lord in. But he taught them the areas that needed to be embraced, that they needed to be taught. And so he says, I have not shunned to declare or avoided to declare the whole counsel of God that you needed to hear. And I really believe that as we read in John 20, 21 and Acts 20, 21, that this is a good direction, a good focus for all of us to have. That as Jesus has been sent into the world, so you and I have been sent to be God's representatives here on this planet, to carry with us the very presence of God no matter where we're at, where we're going. I know that there are people, maybe even here right now, that we're not all living up to the full expectation that God wants us to be living up to. for whatever reason it is, for whatever excuse is that we may have as to why we are not living the way that God wants us to live. But you see, Paul didn't stop here with repentance. He said, and what? And faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, putting Jesus back into the dominant lordship place in that area. And so there is something that the Lord wants to communicate to us. Yes, we know that we've been sent into this world. We know that God has a plan and purpose for us. We know that He wants us to know His full counsel in areas that need to be changed and transformed, and to have our faith and trust and reliance more upon Jesus Christ. And I think it's a wonderful area, a wonderful means for all of us to be thinking about in this present society right now, in this time of what some are referring to the final call, or to the final harvest, or the final ingathering of souls that is taking place all over this planet right now, that we need to have this kingdom focus. As Jesus was sent, so am I sent. My life is continually changing. There's things that God is doing within my life, transforming me and causing me to believe more on Him and make that known to other people. And I really know, and I really have this heartfelt desire within inside me, that we can know these truths, but without experiencing and living in and with the very presence of God, being cognitive, being aware that God's presence is within us. And I think that we know that. We know that. We even confess it. We may be a person who prays in the Spirit a lot or studies the Word a lot, but are you experiencing, do you know the tangible presence of God within your life? Are there times that you communicate with Him and He's communicating back with you, that you know that your Father God loves you and He's communicating to you and He's speaking to you? Do you know that you carry with you the very presence of God Himself? Are you actually aware of God's presence? Are you actually aware of the Holy Spirit speaking and ministering in your life? Or are other things coming out? Or are other things, you know, going forth from our life that do not represent that God is dwelling within us? And I think it's those things that He's like, well, you're not aware of my presence with you. And I believe that the more that we become aware of His presence, that's why we're going to look. We're going to look at some of the things of the life of Jesus and how that life was manifest and how Jesus went about doing certain things. And we have to realize that as He went about, we go about. He went about living. We go about living. But He was always somehow aware of the need around Him when the need became available. Are we more aware of our own needs or other people's needs? Not that we don't have needs. We do have needs. But are we able to shift from one person's need, from our need, to another person's need? The other day, I was informed through a text that somebody was trying to contact me by way of email, but they sent it to the church email. And there's not going to be anybody in the office till Monday, so of course I didn't read it. So I was able to go in and access the CSC email and read what the person wrote and the request that they had. And I responded to this person with a ministry text. And it took a while to, what you know, Lord, do you want me to respond? When do you want me to respond? So as I sought the Lord, it was like, the person needs to hear from me. I said, okay. And so as I began writing these things down, what I do is, when it's a ministry text, I go ahead and seek the Lord first, and I write things down first, and I look at the things that the Lord has for me to say. Then I start doing the text back and start putting in there what I believe that the scriptures that the person is needing, and the little side, it's usually like a one sentence on the side there with that as to why I'm giving them that verse. It takes time to minister. It takes time to get quiet. It takes time to allow the presence of God to come in at that moment before you're going to communicate. Just not throw something out there, you know. But you're wanting a connection with God so God can make a connection with that person. You're wanting a connection with God so that God can connect with that person. And not just simply occupy and answer. But a person is seeking something because there's a need. And we have to realize that there's needs all around us. And that's why I've simply just entitled this today, Living with God's Presence. Or Living with the Presence of God. To be more aware of God's presence than we are now. And I believe that this next year is going to be more of an awareness that we live with God and God lives with us. And it's just been sensing this. And that's why I really, really sense that there was going to be a shift here. And I made mention to you also a couple weeks ago in 2 Kings, and I want to read this. You know, it's really neat. The Lord has reminded me, you know, you said you were going to do this. Okay, Lord. So you need to say this. I said, okay, I'll say it. Isn't it nice when the Lord brings things to our remembrance about something we said we were going to share or read, and it didn't do it, and the Lord brings it to our remembrance that we should? And it's Elisha. It's about Elisha. Elijah has already had his ministry, and Elisha was following him. As you know, that Elijah anointed Elisha to be his successor. And so everywhere at the end there in 2 Kings chapter 2, everywhere that Elijah was going, Elisha would go, even though that Elijah tried to stop him. He says, no, wherever you're going, I'm going. All the way to the crossing of the River Jordan, when he took his mantle and he hit the waters and the waters parted and they both went through on dry ground, and then the Lord's chariot comes down. What a sight that must have been. You know? Swing low, sweet chariot. That's where that comes from. Okay? Coming forth to carry you home. Hallelujah. It's talking about a person dying and going home to be with the Lord, but it's making reference here to Elijah getting on God's chariot. Oh, what a ride that must have been. You wonder if the wheels spun or if they just stayed stationary. You wonder if the horse just kind of, you know, just kind of didn't gallop, but just kind of, you know, I have all these different thoughts. I said, how does a horse gallop in the air? How does the wheels on a chariot spin in the air? So that's just me, my thinking. I like to think about all these things, but it did occur. And Elisha sees it and gets his mantle, goes back over the River Jordan, or where is the God? That's another message I've been thinking about. Where is the God of Elijah? And hits the water, and he goes across on dry ground and comes to a city, comes to Jericho, and this is where I want to pick it up. This is the first miracle after crossing the Jordan, now with the mantle or the anointing of Elijah on Elisha. And I'm going to read to you the whole bulk of this, and then I would just like to make a few comments here. So 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19, and I'll read down through 21. A couple verses here, a few verses. Then the men of that city said to Elisha, please notice that the situation of this city is pleasant. It's good. It's agreeable. Look at this place. Let me look at Jericho and the surrounding lands. It's just a beautiful place. When we look out at God's creation and we look at how many different places that we can go to or look at, the mountains, whatever it is that you like. Some of you like the beach. Some of you like the mountains. And you just look at, boy, how beautiful, you know, is God's creation, right? As my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground barren. And he said, Elisha says, bring to me a new bowl. Put salt in it. And they brought it to him. And he went out to the source of the water, cast in the salt there, and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death nor barrenness. So the water remains healed to this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spoke. Now, thinking about this and looking over this whole situation here, and just getting quiet, how many of you know that God would like to reveal spiritual truths to us from a story like this? We know from Psalm 24, I believe it's Psalm 24, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We know that God is a creator and he created the heavens and the earth. And I'm just like I've told you all recently, I walk out in the backyard at night and I just look up into the heavens. I'm just absolutely blown away by the vastness and greatness of God. But God is created is good. He even said so. But when I think of Elisha, and most of you know that Eli is from the word Elohim, Shah, Yahshua, or God is the Lord. That's a direct translation, or God is salvation, I should say. Elijah is God is the Lord. Elisha is God is salvation. And when I think of God as salvation, I see the ministry of Jesus Christ. I see what Jesus Christ has come and done. And we know that Jesus has come to, this phrase came to me. Does God want to save America, or does God want America to be saved? And when I thought of that last part, that God wants America to be saved, how about God wants Americans to be saved? God wants all people to be saved. God doesn't want, he's just going to save this country. He wants the individuals of this country, people. Jesus died for people. Okay, the earth is already the Lord. It already belongs to him. The ground, it belongs to him. Okay, but the people that occupy the territory is what he's concerned about. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be condemned or damned. And so he's concerned about individuals. He's concerned about people within this country. And we know that there's been so many choices and so many decisions that have been made within this country that have, just gone so far away from God. But it doesn't stop us from our responsibility as believers in Jesus to be a new vessel with salt in it. A new vessel with salt in it. Okay? Because Elisha, which I'm saying right now, is typifying Jesus Christ, typifying Jesus, or God is salvation, Jesus is salvation, is typifying that he needs right now a vessel. He's needing a vessel, a new vessel with salt in it, to go to the source of where the water is. Most of us know that within our lives, the source of our being is our spirit. And we know from the Apostle Paul and from others that we are all dead in sin. As it says in Ephesians chapter 2, Romans chapter 6, the very last verse, for the wages or the payment of sin is what? Death. Okay? And it spoke there that there's death in the water. That the water's dead, and you know that there's many passages that speak about water representing so many things. Water representing the Word, water representing the truth of the Holy Spirit, water representing the people of God, but also there are passages that deal with that water represents nations also, groups of people. So it really depends upon what is being taught, or what the Scripture has to say as what we can allude to as what the water is, and the water is bad. Paul told the church at Ephesus that they were under the prince of the power of the air, that no matter what they did was just dead, that there isn't anything that we can do to achieve salvation or earn or merit salvation. In other words, because of the deadness of a person's spiritual condition, they are completely barren in their lives to achieve any type of rightness or righteousness with God. So the water's dead, and a person can produce no fruit or get any access to God whatsoever. But God requires a new cruse or a bowl, a vessel. He requires someone, he requires a people in which he's going to put his salt, his truth, his life into them and go to the source of that water and take the salt out of the shaker. And you know, I have this one track at home. It's a really old track, and it shows the church, and it's just a salt shaker, and on the side of it says church. The church lying in state, or dead in state. In other words, what good is the salt in the shaker if it's not shaken out, if it's just sitting there all the time? And it says that the salt was in this vessel, or in this container, and it was poured at the source. And people need to hear the source or the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It needs to be poured into their life. It has to come out of the salt shaker and be poured in. And then and then only will begin producing fruitfulness of the Lord within a person's life and through their lives. And so as I was thinking about this and thinking about this upcoming year and praying about these things and seeking the Lord about it, that there is a constant flow that the Word of God tells us that comes from the throne of God, that there is a water source that comes from the throne of God. Matter of fact, I believe it's even James. Isn't it James that talks about a salted water or a brine water versus a fresh water? And he talks about what's coming out of our life, you know, how these two don't merge, how these two aren't to be. How many of us know that we speak things out of our mouth that aren't rivers of living water? Let me just say it that way. You know exactly what that is, right? From the throne and presence of God.
Like, oh, brother there, Mark. I had some of that wrong flowing just this morning.
Well, you need some salt. You need some word. You need some truth. You need something of God poured on that right now. Amen? To get that changed. And so we see here just a few verses here that speak about the great need of the gospel that needs to reach the heart of that individual person's life as the only means of salvation, the only means by which a person's life can be changed. And God wants to use you, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. New. God requires a person who's born again, you, a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things are becoming new. Then he goes on after that and talks about the word of reconciliation or the ministry of reconciliation, the verses after that, because we are that new vessel now. We have the truth of God within us that he wants to salt the world with of the truth, and he has given us a word and ministry of reconciliation. I think Paul goes on and refers to it as being an ambassador of Christ. 2 Corinthians. I want to just get this in context here. And so you are that new vessel, and in that new vessel, you now have a message. You have a word, and you have a ministry. Some people say, I need a word from the Lord, the gospel. You start right there. Give that out first, okay? Some people say, I want a ministry. You have one right here, ministry of reconciliation. So you want a ministry from the Lord here. You want a word from the Lord here. Start with that first, and I believe you me, all the other words of prophecy and of ministry from the Lord will be given to you, but we need to start out with what we've been placed within us. Got to start with the salt that we have. Amen? Now, all things are of God, verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. There's your ministry, everybody. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself as the Father has sent me, John 20, 21, so I am now sending you. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing, not reckoning their trespasses, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So you and I have the answer for the deadness and the barrenness and for the problems that people's lives are facing. Now, I would venture to say this morning that there is a greater revelation, a greater presence, a greater power of God that he desires to manifest, number one, to you individually and to us corporately. That we, I don't know, maybe have just gotten used to not having or experiencing. Got used to the presence of God, got used to being a temple of God, just got used to the routine of these things. And God wants to make all things new. He wants to make things fresh again in our lives. And I'm just sensing this freshness from the Lord. I'm anticipating. I heard back from that individual that I sent the text out and was so appreciative of the ministry text and that he was going to follow the instructions because he was asking instructions on behalf of somebody else. And I will do what you said. I will follow these instructions because I wanted to just not have a person just rely on me. You're a minister of Jesus Christ. You have the ability to share these truths just as I have the ability to share these truths. I believe that God wants to use you preliminary in this ministry to this individual that you're asking. I want you to go over these. And what the person ended up doing, he got the verses, and then he typed, he took my references and the little note that I put next to it and got the whole text of the verse and put it on a paper and is now going to go share with that individual. That he will be he has a ministry of reconciliation, and he's going to share the word of reconciliation with an individual that is, we don't know if the person's saved or not saved, because as most of you know, that there are some Catholics who are saved, okay? And there are some that are not. There are some Baptists that are saved, and there are some that are not. There are some Pentecostals that are saved, and even speak in tongues, or the speak in tongues that are not saved. You might say, can that be true? Yes, I've seen it. I've seen people be taught how to speak in tongues and then told that they're saved. They're saved and spirit-filled because someone told them to repeat these few words and they were never saved in the first place. The glorious, wonderful thing about it is that when God leads me to a person like that, to take them back to the cross, take them back to the blood, take them back to the gospel of their salvation, take them back to the truth of what God's word has to say and lead them through a true salvation experience. And then lead them to the place where they can ask the Father to baptize them in the Holy Spirit. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him and see a glorious, wonderful, Spirit-filled tongue come out of their mouth that has come from heaven, not because they were told to repeat some words, and to see out of their innermost being shall flow rivers of living water, and to see the manifestation of God, the presence of God right there, right then, coming forth in a person's life. Why do I say that? Because I've had people come to me, I've done this, and I have no victory. I have no freedom. I'm saying these words, but there's been no change within my life. So I've always been taught, we were taught very well here, take it back to the bedrock of their salvation. When I first came here, and I started attending church, well, two Wednesdays. It was under Karen Spiro's teaching. And the second Wednesday I came, and I came forward to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She didn't minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit to me at first. She ministered salvation to me. Because she didn't know me. She wanted to know if I was really saved. And she says, let's just make sure. I said, no, I'm saved. I'm born again. Well, let's just make sure, honey. And then she just brought me through the passages of Scripture to ensure that what she was going to do, but lay hands on me, and everybody else that came up laid hands on me. It really freaked me out. All these people coming up and touching me. I wasn't used to that at all. But it's okay, it's okay. They're just here to pray for you. To come to a place of afterwards having the complete assurance that I was saved and I was clean from my sin, and the blood of Jesus Christ had been just made ever fresh. That I was ready, I was a vessel prepared to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And it happened that very moment for my life. It happened that very moment. And God gave me a supernatural language, just flowed out of my mouth. Matter of fact, my mind's like, what in the world are you saying? I mean, that's how free it just flowed out. I mean, it was just like, it was almost like the fire department showing up at your block and putting that wrench on that fire hydrant and flushing out the hydrant, you know how they do that every now and then? And goes, whoom. I mean, one moment, I'm asking for the Holy Spirit to come in. The Holy Spirit comes in, the wrench gets turned, and whoa, out flows this. Matter of fact, Christine didn't know who she was going home with that night. And I kind of did it the wrong way. You know, I kept looking at her, talking in tongues, like, I got it, you don't. Na da 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 da. That probably wasn't too godly, but I was excited. I was so excited. So we are all what? We have a ministry, and the ministry is reconciliation, or what? Reconciling the world to Himself. God is reconciling the world to Himself through Jesus Christ, or what Jesus Christ has done, and He has given us that word to communicate to other people. Therefore, we are, you are, I am an ambassador for Christ. Now, remember, you know, I believe Paul is using certain words, and we can relay certain words, especially how it applies to us. Christine and I watched a video not too long ago about a woman who was married to an Iranian, And he took the wife and child back to their country, and basically they became enslaved there. I think the name of it was Not Without My Child. Okay, it's an old movie. And how she escaped. Yes, how she escaped that country. And you know, being a Christian, and this is a true story, you know, believing the Lord and praying that God's going to get us out of here, and just to see her whole track out of that country. And when she got out of that country into another country, I forget country which she was put into, I don't know if it was Turkey or another country close to Iran, she heard the sounds of rope hitting a pole. You know, almost like you ever seen a flagpole and the rope hits the flagpole, ding, ding, ding. And it got her attention, and she started moving in the direction where she's hearing this rope hitting this pole. And then coming around the corner, seeing the United States flag flying. And two Marines standing out there at that gate, because that was an embassy of the United States. And within that embassy of the United States is an ambassador from the United States. When you see it, and when there is an embassy in another country of the United States, that's territory of the United States within that country. It's actual ground. It's actually the property, and all the laws of our country apply within the confines of that embassy. Okay? We are ambassadors. We are territories of God everywhere we go. We have to realize that when Jesus said that he came and he said, I come to preach the kingdom of God, in another place, the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is within you. And he came and he demonstrated the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God. We have to realize that we are embassies of God, as ambassadors of God, and you are a piece of heaven on earth. When is the last time you thought of that? When Jesus said, the kingdom of God is among you right now. I mean, they're looking around. I see the same dirt that was here before. This is the same dirt road I've always walked on. Who was there? Jesus. Jesus was there. Jesus was like the personification of the kingdom of God. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. So let me ask you a question. Is the kingdom of God in our midst? Paul says here he's an ambassador. So to be an ambassador, there has to be an embassy. You carry with you the embassy and the ambassadorship of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to start thinking about that. We have to start realizing that we carry within us the very presence of God. And Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. So there should be more and more a manifestation of that kingdom within our lives. Within our lives and through our lives. And that's, I believe the more we talk about this, the more that we look at this, and more that we get teaching on this, we're going to have a greater awareness of God's presence within our lives. Because you and I need to know that there is something that he's wanting to manifest in us and through us. There is something that he's wanting. We have salt, and he's wanting salt out of the salt shaker. He's wanting the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation, through his ambassadors to be released. And it's released through words. It's released as the Spirit of God, whether it be communicating to somebody or taking time. Now, a lot of ministry today is text. A lot of ministry can be in Facebook. See, don't just relegate it to face-to-face. Because a lot of times, do we not have letters of Paul? Did Paul say that sometimes, I'm going to send Timothy, it's just like me sending myself to you. Or this letter, he goes, it's better that this letter comes to you than me being present right now to you. But this letter is like me being there. And so he communicated through writing from a prison, the prison epistles, and communicated truth. So we have to also realize that God wants to communicate truth. And with that truth, if we're sensitive to him, if we get alone with him and allow ourselves to be moved by the Spirit, that when we write things, that the very anointing of God can be on those words, can be on that text that we send. I'm just not sending electronic things out there. I'm expecting the presence of God to ride those words when that person reads it, and for a ministry of reconciliation through a word that I'm sending to be the word of reconciliation through a yielded ambassador of Jesus Christ. When was the last time that we think of things like that? And to start putting yourself in a place that God needs you, that God indwells you, that you have a plan, you have a purpose. You have something for your life to accomplish while you're here. And a greater manifestation of what is in God's kingdom to be made manifest here on earth. Your kingdom come. We're just not talking Revelation chapter 21. We're just not looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth. Yes, we are. We know that that's going to transpire and take place. But when Jesus was on the earth, he released or he revealed or he ministered from that which is allowed in heaven, he allowed on earth. And that which is not in heaven, he forbid on earth. A true binding, a true forbidding, and a true releasing. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And Jesus manifested it on earth as it is with my Father in heaven. We need to start realizing that God wants to do more and more of that through our lives. There are people here that are needing things from the Lord. Melissa's trusting the Lord. Ray's trusting the Lord. Some of you here that are you're facing personal things and you're trusting the Lord for circumstances and situations, either individually, maybe in your marriage, maybe in your children. There are things that you're looking to the Lord for, and that, you know what? I need some more kingdom of God manifestation. I need some more presence of God within my life right now. I need some of this salt, this truth of God's word. Yes, I've got salt, but I don't have it in this area yet, though. I don't have the word in this area yet. But yet I know it's all available to me. And so, Lord, I need you to salt. Oh. I just like these oh moments. And I got to look it up here real quick. So don't mind me of a Holy Spirit interruption here. Okay? We can be divinely interrupted. I interrupt this broadcast to give you. Hallelujah! Oh, thank you, Jesus. Look at this. In Mark 9:50. Now, some of you may not agree with this, but salt is good. Salt is good. Now, some of us have used it more than we should, and it's not so good for us, but it is good. I mean, it adds flavor, it adds preservatives. I mean, it adds, I got the salt at home, it's Himalayan salt, and it says it has all the trace minerals that a person's body needs. Salt is good. But if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season? How will it be used for seasoning or any benefit? Listen to this last part here. Have, number one, salt in yourselves. What good is giving out something if you first aren't the partaker of it? How has the Word of God seasoned your life? How has the Word of God preserved your life? How has the Word of God brought cleansing and healing within your own life? How has the very presence of God preserved you and helped you and sustained you? Have salt within yourselves first. Be partakers of it. Salt is good. And God's got so much good stuff for us. Amen? And then once again, remember Jesus said, we looked at that one verse in John 20:21. He said, peace, have peace with one another. When we're partaking of the truth of God's word personally, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit personally within our lives, and it's doing its work within us. It's cleansing us, it's preserving us, it's purifying us. We're tasting all the good things that God has from his kingdom within our own lives. Then it talks about a peace that is dispensed from us, and it brings in what? Look what it brings in here. Have peace with one another. You will communicate to others differently, you will speak to others differently, you will have an impact that comes from a place of being one with God. How many of you know that there's some communications that come from us and they're not one with God communications that are proceeding from our lips at this present moment, right? And when you're at peace with God, then the words and ministry of reconciliation will proceed out of our mouth in the way that they should, or just communication in general that we have with people. And I don't know why at times that we feel free that we can say anything or do anything, but it says that we're to have salt with inside of ourselves first, that we are to be salted before we can salt somebody else, or the word has to work here. There's an old song, the word is working mightily in them. The word of God is working mightily in me first. First, we got to be first partakers of that good truth that God has for us. Then we'll find ourselves being at peace with God, and then sharing or speaking or communicating with others the way that we should be speaking and communicating from others as a person who is at peace with God, or living from the presence of God, or living from a place of being at peace with God. So let me ask you a question. Is Jesus the light of the world? Did Jesus say that he was, did Jesus say that he was the light of the world? John 8, wrote it down here, John 8, 12. Jesus said that he was the light of the world, right? Then in John chapter 9, he makes a second reference to himself about the light. So let me just read the first one. John 8, 12. He says this. Jesus spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. Is Jesus the light of the world? Okay. He says, he who follows me shall not what? Walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Are you in the dark about anything? You have a full 100% revelation of Jesus Christ in every area of your life. Thank you. There are things that we don't know, but we're connected with the one who knows all things. And that's what we have to realize. Because we're connected with the one who knows all things, those all things can be communicated to us by the Holy Spirit or the Word of God, or the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Amen? Or even at that present moment, you're needing to make a decision about something, and he can show you the decision that you need to make about it. He is the light, or he will bring light or luminous. He will illuminate your darkness. Darkness could be a question mark. I'm in the dark about this. Any of us ever said that? You just don't know what to do. There's a decision you have to make. I'm in the dark about this. Not referring to darkness as sin. At times, darkness is, I just don't know. I just don't know. And that's why we're told in James, if you lack wisdom, if you don't know what to do, if you're in the dark about something, if you don't know the choice to make, let him ask of God who gives stingily. Liberally. And he said he's not going to rebuke you for asking. He wants us to come to him. And that's why over in Matthew chapter 5, it talks about light and salt and light. Matthew chapter 5. And if you'll notice, he makes this statement right after, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers in verse 9, for they are the sons, they are called the sons of God. And as a peacemaker, it's not always going to go well. I'll just tell you, people don't always like what you have to say. Because right after being a peacemaker, he warns of persecution. And he says this, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You're a peacemaker. You're sharing about Jesus. You're living Jesus. And not everybody likes... How many of you know that not everybody likes you being a Christian? Not everybody likes you sharing about being a Christian. Not everybody likes you telling them their need to know Jesus and become a Christian. And at times, you get really persecuted, okay? And Jesus is just letting us know, and he tells us, I believe, in John 15, as I'm persecuted, you'll also be persecuted, because he was giving them truth. When you share truth, light shines in darkness, light shines on sin. They don't like that. They don't like the conviction, and so they come against the messenger. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake or on account of me. This is happening because you're standing up for me, you're representing me, you have the ministry of reconciliation, you have the word of reconciliation, you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ, and all these things, it's because of Jesus' sake or the cause of Christ, or you're being a representative of Jesus Christ. Rejoice! Wow. Be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So they persecuted the prophets. So they persecuted those giving out the word of the Lord, the word that the people needed to hear. So when we give out the word that people need to hear, it's not always going to be welcomed with open arms. Not always. I'm saying at times it is. Sometimes it's very exciting to people, but other people don't want to hear it because there's a conviction that takes place. Remember the two cutting of the hearts in the book of Acts. The first one was on the day of Pentecost when Peter got up and preached about their need for Jesus Christ. They were all baptized in the Holy Spirit, and Peter gets up and preached, and it says they were cut to the heart. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was the first cutting of the heart. Stephen gets up and preaches a wonderful message also to these people in Acts chapter 7. And he gets up there and he preaches this message. And he lets them know about the condition of their heart. You're stiff-necked. You're rebellious against God. He told them about Jesus. He told them about the condition of their heart. They were cut to the heart. But not to believe. To shut the mouth of the messenger. To shut the mouth of the messenger. Two cuttings of the heart. Two different reactions to the message. Two different people hearing about what they need to do to believe on Jesus. One, 3,000 get saved. A group of people decide to stone the messenger. But both were cut in the heart. We are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Can you put this verse up, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. And then I'm going to read it down after that. Now thanks be to God who always, here's one of these passages, who always leads us in triumph. Now, grab hold of that. Someone here needs to grab it. He always leads us to a place of far surpassing victory where the enemy is always underfoot. I think I was saying that before the service today. We are under the mighty hand of God, but the enemy's under our foot because he's under Jesus' foot. And we're the body of Christ, so the enemy's under our foot. We are always, always, we can give thanks to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. The truth about the gospel, the truth about Jesus in the places that we have that we know we're supposed to be a dispenser of it. And when you look up this fragrance in every place, it's almost like any of you have these fragrance dispensers at home? I think we have like in the walls here. You know, you go into certain restrooms at restaurants and... you're like, what in the world was that? And you see all of a sudden the room is filled with this wonderful fragrance. Or perfume, aftershave. We put it on because we like the smell. But I guarantee you there have been times I have put on aftershave or cologne. People went, oh, what's that fragrance? I said, oh, it's, I like Old Spice. It was my dad's favorite, so I just like Old Spice. Other people like, what do you got on? One person was just like, hey. Like, oh, wow, yeah, Old Spice, you use that stuff? So to one, it's a good smell. To others, it's not a good smell. How many of you have a fragrance inside your home you just absolutely love? Then you have a relative or another family member comes in like, what are you doing spraying that stuff in here for? You know, I just can't stand the smell of that stuff. Right? Okay, look at the next verse. Oh, here it is. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Next verse. To one, we are the aroma or the smell of death leading to death. It's the same word. It's the same truth. And to another, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? Who can understand such things? And here we are giving out a truth. We're giving out a revelation. We're sharing about Jesus. Our lives are exemplifying him. Our lives are sharing a truth. And the one is like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I need to hear. You need to shut up right now. And yet it's the same word, but two different responses. Same word, two different responses. Same fragrance. Same truth. Going in, being smelled, being received in two different ways. Isn't that amazing? Same truth. 3,000 get saved on the day of Pentecost. Let's kill the messenger in Acts chapter 7. Both cut to the heart. Two different responses. That's why Jesus said here that just as they persecuted those who had the word of God in the Old Testament, the prophets who came with the word for the Lord, he says, you also are going to experience a persecution. But, he goes on, he just doesn't leave it there. Always remember this. You are the salt of the earth. We have to season. We have to share. We must continue to speak the truth as it has been given to us when we need to be sharing it. There's a time for the salt to come out of the salt shaker, and there's a time when it doesn't need to come out of the salt shaker. How many of you know that if a person doesn't want to hear, Jesus even told us not to cast our pearls before a swine. If that's not the time, then we need to also be discerning of when to speak and when not to speak. Because if a person is not wanting to hear, and we start sharing, and they're cut, and we can put salt in that wound, you know, they get all bent out of shape. Have you ever got bent out of shape? When it wasn't done at the right timing? Now, we can have the right timing. You can still get them bent out of shape. But that's when we have to be discerning. True persecution comes to us when we're following the Lord and it's having a negative response, but we're being obedient to the Lord. A false persecution can come to us when we go ahead and force the message upon someone and it really gets them irate and upset and they want to stop our mouths. There's one that is for Christ's sake, and there's another one we think it's for Christ's sake. And we're just pushing it. That's why we need to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I've done it right, and I've done it wrong. Okay? And so we need to just be sensitive as to when the Lord wants us to release the truth that we have within our lives into that person's life. For you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. It continues to compare the salt with the light. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. In other words, we're not. The salt is not to remain in the salt shaker, and a light is not to be put under a basket. Nor do they light a lamp, but put it under. Under a basket, but on a lampstand. Why do they put it on a lampstand? And it gives light to all who are in the house, all to those who are present, all to those that need to hear. Let your light so shine before men or before human beings that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, looking at this, and I'm going to probably just go ahead and begin wrapping this up this morning. Coming to the close of this year, this has been a pretty crazy year, hasn't it? There's been a lot of things happening. They say Florida's up to almost 10% again of this coronavirus. They say that when the vaccine does come out, that only 50% of the population is going to take it because they're still concerned about it. Regardless of where the coronavirus goes, we're the people of God and we have jobs to do. We have a ministry. We do need to take the necessary precautions. I can speak just as well to you right now or through this. Okay? My voice might be a little muffled, but when I do speak, I tell you what, I do see droplets. I'm glad we have this distance here. And sometimes I wonder if I need to get a splatter screen up here. That's why in California, I heard that they were told not to sing. Can you believe the churches were told not to sing? Okay? You have a church meeting, but don't sing. Because when we take a big breath of air, we project more droplets and they go a whole lot further. They extend somewhere up to 15 to 20 feet. It's not that they're trying to keep people from singing. See, if you look at this thing, yes. Can the enemy get in this and twist it? Yes. Can the enemy get in there and use it against the church? Yes. Yes, he can. Okay? But I don't believe that the predominant thinking behind all of it is to quench the church, though the enemy may have a hand in it. And I hear all these crazy people on, they call themselves Christians, and they have all these programs on about the enemy doing this and the enemy doing that. You know what? The gospel's preached in communist countries. If you want to share Jesus, you share Jesus. Okay? And there's so much, that's why I'm saying that we got to get reoriented, refocused, because there's so much even negativity coming from the Church of Jesus Christ as to what we can't do. Jesus said, go and do. He didn't put any restrictions. He said we can share, so we are to share. He said we are to speak, so we are to speak. He said we are to preach, so we are to preach. If I'm allowing a present circumstance to keep me from speaking when the opportunity is given to me, I can follow everything that is said. I can communicate. Bill, come up here for a minute. Just come up here on the platform. I'm going to make sure the camera sees. Stay right there. Okay, we're about 6 feet away. Does this hinder me from sharing Jesus? This doesn't hinder me at all from sharing Jesus. But so many people are bent out of shape because of this and because of this. They're so bent out of shape that they get so mad and they get so upset, and they're missing the opportunities that God is giving them because they're so upset by what the world is saying you can and can't do. Matter of fact, I think most people would respect what I've evangelized so much over these past 35, 40 years as being a Christian. People respect personal space. I don't know if you've ever been ministering to somebody. Sometimes I get really close to people. It seems like I get close and they back up. I get close because I keep violating their personal space. You know, I said, where are you going? You need to back up, man. You need to back up. Give me my space, man. Well, that was before COVID. Huh? Sometimes I'm up here preaching, and that's why there's not any people in the front row. Thanks, Bill. Because I see my droplets where they go. I actually see them. You know, sometimes when I'm preaching, if you ever see me do this, I was like, oh, that just missed Bill. Either one. Living in the presence of God. What I'm saying is, we can allow all this stuff that's taking place in our country to get us off track and get us off from what we have been called to do. But it can only happen if you allow it. I still minister. I still share. I use the opportunities that God gives me, regardless of a mask or not a mask, regardless of 6-foot distancing or not 6-foot distancing. We are the church. This is a building we just happen to occupy that we call a church gathering. But wherever you go, you are the church. You are the body of Christ. You are the temple of God. You carry with you the presence of God. You are the tabernacle of God. As it says in the very last verse of Ephesians chapter 2, it says this: you are a habitation of God, a habitation of God in the Spirit. Do you realize that? Yes, I believe that we need to gather together. I believe that there is an underlining thing that the enemy is trying to do to quench the church and keep people from gathering. But it will not keep us from gathering. It will not keep us from sharing Jesus. We will continue to do what we need to do. And if I have to wear a mask in the interim, I'll wear a mask. In whom also you are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. Habitation, dwelling place of God. Just look at yourself this morning. I'm a dwelling place of God. God dwells within me right now. God dwells within me personally. God is dwelling within my brothers and sisters meeting here, with my brothers and sisters online, and corporately within this room. We need to begin to acknowledge the individual and corporate presence of God. Because truly, the only way that there's going to be make a greater difference within this world is when we realize what Jesus said about the anointing that was on him to preach the gospel to the poor in Luke 4, 18 and 19, and to realize that that same anointing, that same Holy Spirit is upon our lives to make a difference in somebody else's life. And we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. We have to rely on the presence of God within our lives. We have to make sure that we are a people that are depending upon him, even during times of crises. Even in during times of uncertainty. There is no uncertainty with God. There is no lack with God. And I really believe that even during these times, that God wants to manifest a greater, I don't know, healing, a greater deliverance, a greater demonstration of his kingdom, in the kingdom that we're living in here on this earth. There's something that God is wanting to release in a greater measure than we have tasted of recently. And we have to be careful that we're just not allowing the secular news to overcome the good news. That we're not allowing the news that is coming from all these different streams to interrupt the Holy Spirit stream within our lives. Because all these things, there is a spiritual attack that is trying to get you just a little bit off believing, off thinking concerning God, just to get your thoughts to be a little bit more preoccupied with other things than the truth of who he is. And all it takes is just a little bit of this and a little bit of that to get into your head And for that thought to be a dominant thought more than God's word or God's presence to be a dominant thought or his presence to be within your life. You actually just, you, as I am doing more, spending more God presence time, talking to him, speaking with him, realizing that he is there with me all the time. He is with you all the time. Jesus makes this statement. It's the last verse of Matthew 28. And lo, I am with you to the end of the age. Do you know that to be a truth right now, that he is with you to the end of this church age, to when that final trumpet blows? Do you really have that understanding that you are not alone, that he dwells with you? He's right here, right now. He's with me individually. He's with us corporately here. And the promise of his presence, Jesus said, has been released to us until the church's work is finished here. And we need to, that's why I want to spend some time looking at some, like, Exodus 33. Moses is like, I'm not going anywhere until your presence, unless your presence is with me. We need to look at some of these presence verses. We need to look at Jesus' life in the Gospels, how the presence, him representing the presence of God, and how he moved among the people, and how he moved through every circumstance and situation, sinners, harlots, the religious, and how we also can live life right now moving with the presence of God in every circumstance, in every situation, whether there's a need or not a need, whether it's an impossible-looking situation or a headache. Someone dead or somebody has a headache. And he's wanting to show us that with in the kingdom of God, there's no difference there because life is life. And our faith in God needs to be elevated to a higher level than it is at right now. Have or possess faith in God. And so there's a possessing that needs to increase. There's a truth that he's wanting to magnify within our lives. If it says in Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, what is blocking out the word of God to where it's not being heard or received or believed on as it should be? What altar word is there that is coming against what we should be grabbing hold of? And I believe that God's presence and God's truth wants to expose a lot of these things. There is something, I believe, that's going to transpire in a people that are willing and obedient. We're willing and obedient to follow what the Lord wants us to do. But it's going to begin first with you having salt within inside yourselves. It's going to begin individually. It's going to begin with you personally in your own self-talk. When I talk about self-talk, what's going on in your thinking? A lot of us know what comes out of our mouths. Other people hear what comes out of our mouth. But a lot of people don't know always what's going on in here. Is it salt? Or in certain areas, has salt lost its flavor? And it's not purifying. It's not healing. It's not cleansing. That the word of God is not having the proper place it should be having in that area. And so when Jesus tells us in, what was that verse? Mark 9:50, the last verse. Have salt within yourself. Salt is good. Salt's good. But how's that salt with inside yourself working? See, I have to take that verse and mirror it to myself. And I tell you, in some areas, it hasn't been working as good as it should be working. But I'm taking it. I'm taking that salt and applying. I'm taking the word of God and applying it to that area. And I'm taking and purposely applying it to specific areas in my life. And as we all need to be doing, and if we would just think about this as we leave here today, have salt within yourselves. How is the truth of God's word working? How is it working with inside yourself? How is it working in your thinking? How is it working in your choices? How are you experiencing that connectedness with God, with the Word of God, by the Spirit of God? How's that working? I believe in all of our lives, we need improvement. If I need improvement, I know everybody needs improvement. We all need improvement. But God wants to bring the improvement. Now, thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Now thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Triumph and victory. It's ours. But it has to work here. It's got to work here first, within us first. We've got to salt ourselves with these truths first and begin walking in them. And once we are, it will be noticed and seen by others. Your life, what you are on the inside, eventually gets projected on the outside. Words, attitudes, behavior, whatever, it comes out. Believe you me, it comes out. Right? But it doesn't have to remain that way. All it does is show you what the Apostle Paul said, like I told you, the other verse, as the Father sent me, so send I you. We go to Acts chapter 20, verse 21, that he reveals a word to us, a teaching to us, and it reveals the repentance that we need toward God and the faith that we need to have toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't leave us with repentance, but it leaves us with possessing a faith in who Jesus Christ is in every area of our life. I believe this is a good direction for us to go in 2021. Amen? So just pray for us. Pray for the ministry here. Pray for the direction that we need to be going and how the Lord wants to accomplish that within us and through us to the world that he has placed us in, to the neighborhood that he's placed us in, to the workplace that he's placed us in, to the family he's placed us in, to the neighbors that we have around us or the acquaintances that come into our lives or an email that just comes from a person you maybe haven't seen in a long time or heard from in a long time. There's a communication from God that wants to reach that individual, but it has to reach you first and then go through you. Amen? So Heavenly Father, I want to thank you right now that we are here, Lord God. We are here for you and you are here for us. And that we have the promise of your presence with inside of our lives. That you are corporately among us and you're individually inside of us. We are your children. We've allowed the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all sin. We have been born of you. We are called your children. You call us beloved. You call us accepted. You call us welcomed, Lord God. And you desired us so much, Lord, for us to have that promise of yourself, Father. That wonderful Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit within our lives. I thank you, Father, for the gift of speaking in tongues, the ability to edify myself, the ability, Lord God, that I have to speak mysteries in the Spirit, Lord. The ability that I have, Lord God, to bless well and to give thanks well. The ability, Lord God, that I have to communicate directly to you and that you can also, Lord God, grant us the understanding of what's being said, Lord God, to not only increase ourselves, Lord God, in what you're communicating, but also to communicate that to other people, which then becomes prophecy, Lord God. That which you want to edify and help and exhort and comfort other people. We thank you so much, Lord God, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of speaking in tongues, the gift of your salvation, the gift of eternal life, the gift of righteousness, and all these other gifts, Lord God, that accompany salvation. We're so appreciative. Help us, Lord God, realize the giftings that you have already bestowed upon us. As was told to us so many years ago by Pastor Elnora, she saw this altar filled with gifts. And all these different giftings that God has for us, individually, corporately, but they're all still at the altar if we haven't picked up ours. We're coming up to a Christmas season, Lord, which people put gifts under a tree. And it can have the person's name on it and be filled with wonderful things on the inside. But it will still remain in its place if the person doesn't receive it, open it, and take what's inside for themselves. Help us, Lord God, to receive what the cross, that tree, of Jesus Christ, that cross of Jesus Christ, that blood that was spilled, what it has provided for us, and the gifts and callings that you have secured for us. Let us not ever be negligent of anything that you have secured for us that we have not taken when revealed that it's ours. And you've written, it says you know us by name, and you've written our name on that gift that belongs to us. Let us not leave it just at the foot of the cross, but because of the cross and blood of Jesus, that we can receive what you have secured for us, Jesus. And so, Lord God, we want to avail ourselves to what you have for our lives. So we place ourselves before you. We thank you this day that which you have for us, Lord God, you have made known and are making known. And we receive them by faith, even right now. So show us, Lord God, a gift, a promise, a blessing, something that you have done on our behalf that is rightfully ours because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we thank you this day. We thank you right now. And that we would all, Lord God, worship you as you ought to be worshiped.